welcome to the All Things Overlanding podcast. My name is Fletch, and I'll be your host. Are you ready for some great overlanding content? Then let's get into it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to All Things Overlanding. On this episode of the podcast slash vlog, I'm going to be talking about sort of an update to my do-it-yourself rooftop tent project that I'm working on. So you may remember that a couple weeks ago, actually, I'll show you this here. I look like a Dalmatian currently because the way that I'm sealing up the outside of the project is with Herculiner, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I am covered in black spots everywhere, and I clearly read the directions, but it said wear gloves because this stuff will get on you and it will stain you. This has been 2 days now. 2 days of just covered in black spots, looking like my hands were mated with a Dalmatian. So it's been weird going out in public. Also with the coronavirus going around, that's been fun. So hopefully this can give you guys a little bit of a distraction, a little bit of something else to think about besides the hellacious disease that is ripping through our country. So thank you for joining me on today's episode. As I mentioned, a couple weeks ago, I kind of did like a planning session with my buddy Eric, who is my woodworking friend, who kind of helped me build the box. The box is built. It is all done. Measurements were taken today for where I'm going to mount it on the roof rack, where I need to drill holes for the U-bolts and things like that. So I'm advancing even past where this video is going to take us, even just today. But on today's episode, I did want to kind of walk you guys through sort of what I've been doing, the steps that I've taken to create the box and kind of the plans for it, and just kind of walk you through that. So again, if you're listening on the podcast, I'm gonna do my best to just kind of describe everything to you. If you're watching on YouTube, there will be video just kind of showing you the results and where it's at. So, you know, if you're on either or, feel free to jump back and forth and just sort of check it out wherever works best for you. But thanks for stopping by and let's get into it. All right, guys, so as I mentioned, we're gonna kind of start with the buying process. So my plan is, and I need to talk to my woodworking friend just to kind of get a list of everything that we bought, but I want to kind of give you guys a little bit of a general idea of what we bought. But here's the thing is, I could give you the exact build sheet and like exactly what we bought, but even, you know, my best laid plans ended up changing a little bit as we got going. So we did have to kind of customize things, but here's the basic thing about it. And what I think is so cool about this do-it-yourself rooftop tent is all that we've done is build a box, right? And the dimensions of the box match the tent that I picked, which is the River Country 1A backpacking tent. And the reason I picked that was a couple of things. One, it's inexpensive. So it's about a $40 tent. So, you know, if it gets ruined, if I get a year out of the tent, okay, it's 40 bucks, then I'll buy a new one, I'll snap it on, and I'll tell you more about that here in a second. Two, so again, I could go through all of the specifics of the box and all that stuff, but unless you buy the exact same tent, then it's not going to apply to you, right? The ideas will, and that's what I want to talk about, is just kind of like the design ideas and sort of what the plan was, without necessarily going into the specifics of we used a 3/4 inch thick pine, radiata, plywood piece, and we cut it down to 7.5 feet, and then we put a, you know, 3/4 inch lip on it, and then the external lip and all that. There are plenty of videos that talk about that sort of stuff. So again, what I want to cover is just sort of the idea behind the tent and what I was thinking when I built the tent. But then your own design is going to depend on which tent you go with and all that good stuff. So again, back to the reasons why I selected this tent. One, it's inexpensive. Two, it has windows on the ends that are ventable. So for condensation purposes, you know, for in the summer breathing purposes and just like opening it up and letting some venting go through, I like the idea of having windows on the ends because the way my design is it's basically sort of a clamshell that opens on the long part of the spine. And so the ends of the tent will be facing out when the clamshell is open, which will allow wind flow to go through or airflow to go through the tent. Again, trying to alleviate that problem of condensation and all that good stuff. But so that was part of it too. The windows on the ends are also definitely a nice little just bonus for my design. And then also another reason that I selected this tent was the dimensions. So, and now that I've sort of built the box, I'm actually kind of having second thoughts. So not in a bad way, not in like a, oh, I shouldn't have bought this tent. But so I have a 2005 Nissan Xterra and my roof rack is probably about 6.5 feet long. The tent that I bought is 7.5 feet long. Now I'm a pretty big guy, but I'm only 6'2". So I'm literally going to have over a foot of extra space at my head, which is fine. Like there's no problem with that, right? More storage is always a good thing. But what that means is I've got to take it as far up to the edge of the back hatch, because if you're familiar with an Xterra, the back hatch opens upward. I have to take it as close to that as I possibly can without, you know, it contacting the rooftop tent, which means I'm limited on how far back I can go. And because of the length of the box that is going to house the tent, it's going to stick off the front of my truck above my window, maybe a foot. So there's going to be actually quite a bit of overhang from the front, which in one way kind of concerns me slightly from like a wind flow / aerodynamics standpoint, where I'm a little worried that wind's going to catch up under the front of it. Now I have bought 8 U-bolts that are, you know, grade A, super strong U-bolts. And I'm going to do, so I have 3 cross members that I'm going to be attaching it to. And I'm going to do 3 up front and 3 in the back and 2 in the middle. So I do feel pretty confident in that. I don't think it's going to fly off or anything like that. I'm going to do some testing once the box is mounted, obviously, because I'd rather it fly off in town than on the highway to another state. But again, I just can't imagine with 8 U-bolts through this thing, it's going to go anywhere, but it's a concern, right? In addition to that, as I mentioned, it's really, really long, which in one way I like because it gives me more storage space. It gives me some additional space to just store stuff in the box, which that's part of my goal of this whole thing is to get a lot of stuff out of the truck and up onto the roof, right? Not heavy stuff. I don't want to move weight to the roof. Obviously, that's always a bad idea if you're in like an off-camber situation or some sort of a tricky trail or a hill climb or something like that. So the goal is not to get weight to the roof. It's just, you know, sleeping bags in a stuff sack still take up, you know, a good amount of room. Same with particularly my memory foam pads. They're not particularly heavy, but just because of the nature of them, they expand, right? When they're not constricted, they expand. And I have a 2-inch thick memory foam pad that's a full that I've cut in half. So it's basically 4 inches of memory foam that I've got rolled up with bungees around it. So, you know, with that and then a cot, which I also generally use, and a tent. I mean, I have all that stuff in the truck right now. Tent, cot, memory foam mattress, sleeping bag, wool blanket, pillow. All that stuff is inside of the truck right now, taking up a ton of space. With the rooftop tent, again, not moving weight up, but moving stuff up, I can get rid of the memory foam. I don't need the cot anymore. I don't need a tent anymore because it's going to be built into the rooftop tent. And my pillow and just anything else can go up there. So things that I would use in the tent, like power banks, can go up there. Different cord options. So I may have like a pack of charging cords for like iPhone, for micro USB, for USB-C. That sort of stuff can all go up there in the roof. Some sort of lighting, flashlights, touch. I've got some touch lighting that I'm going to put up there, some solar lighting and things like that that's going to go up there. So all that stuff can be stored on the roof, which is going to be great. So anyway, so we're going to dive into it. I'm going to show you kind of a walk around at each various stage. So we're going to move through it in stages, showing you, you know, me getting the box home and just kind of showing you the design of it. The fact that we sort of boxed in the lid and put a spline across it because we did use 1/2-inch plywood on the top. Now, one other thing is you don't want to use your typical sort of plywood that's like paperboard, that's the, you know, the very kind of the like bottom of the barrel stuff that you see that's, you know, just plywood of just pieces of shards of wood stuck together. So what I got was sort of like a radiata pine plywood, which is a higher quality. It's a little bit more expensive. But again, total on the wood, I've only spent about $150. So I feel like my cost is actually not that bad. So there's that. My hinge was actually fairly expensive. It was about $35 shipped. It was actually only like $20, but then shipping was like $13. taxes, it all adds up, right? But I'm really excited about the hinge because it's plastic, so I don't have to worry about it rusting or, you know, having any sort of condensation problems. It's also supposed to last for a really long time. And it's great too because it's customizable. So it's just a piece of plastic. I have to cut it down. So I'm going to literally make it the exact length of the tent, which is 7.5 feet. And I did have to buy, the way that they sell it is in 5 foot minimum section. So 5, 10. So I actually had to buy a 10 foot spool of it, which is part of why it was expensive too. But so 150 on wood, 35 on that hinge, about 10 bucks on the latches. I got two latches, which each hold about 400 pounds worth of pressure. So that should be plenty to hold that thing closed. Gas struts were about 20 bucks. What else am I thinking about? Other costs. Oh, I bought the snaps. So my plan is with the tent, again, I didn't want to have to sew and measure and cut and stitch and put zippers in and do all that. There are a lot of people that do that and they say it's not too bad, and I'm sure it's probably not. I just wanted a pre-existing tent to base my design on so that worst case, if it goes 2 or 3 years and it starts to get mildewy or moldy or fall apart or get rips in it or whatever, get burns in it from ashes or things like that, that I could just literally go online and buy another one of those tents for not a lot of money and just button it to it. So again, I'm using boat snaps, which I haven't gotten to yet. That'll be in a future video. But I'll put a link to them down below. But they're basically like you screw in these snaps and then it's like you would fasten canvas to cover a boat. And you would just snap it in. So the goal is to be able to sort of remove the tent if I need to pop it out, dry it out, you know, when I'm not going on a trip. Which again, I think we all sort of overestimate how often we go, but if I'm lucky in a year, I might get 4 or 5 really good, like longer trips, and I might take 5 to 8 short, you know, 1-day or 2-day weekend trips. But that's out of 365 days, right? So I might go camping if I'm really lucky 20 to 30 days a year. So I just kind of like the idea of being able to undo some snaps and like pop the whole tent out and just close up the box, latch it, and just leave it and not have to worry about that, you know, being wet or mildewy or cinching up or ripping or, you know, anything like that. So again, I'll go through that in a future video to give you a little bit more heads up on how that's going to work. But there are a lot of benefits to that design, right? So again, I'm going to walk you through the design of the tent box. I'm going to show you how it was built. I'm going to show you sort of my waterproofing method. So I'm caulking the inside. I'm going to spar urethane the inside. And then the outside I'm Herculining. And I'm doing this based on a few different people that I've read on the DIY rooftop tent forums that they used it. Again, lowest barrier to entry, right? It's simple stuff. You mix it up really well. It's a rubberized paint coating, basically. You take the brush and you dab it into spots around the edge to kind of fill if there are any gaps or anything like that. You want to fill it with the plasticky rubbery filling and then kind of let that dry just a little bit, and then you go over it with a roller, so the roller disperses it all over the whole, you know, the big outside of the thing to waterproof it. They recommend at least a couple of coats, so that's my plan. I used about half of it, so what I'm going to show you on this video is the first half, so the first coat that I put on it. I went ahead and I did the first coat, and then, like I mentioned tonight, we drilled the holes for the U-bolt, so now I'm gonna do the second coat to kind of make sure everything is coated, everything is covered, and waterproofed, but leaving room for the U-bolts. So, again, then we're gonna kind of finish up with just sort of a recap and that sort of stuff to kind of tell you exactly what, you know, where I am right now and what to expect on the next. So as you can see here, there are a lot of options, right? So we went to Home Depot. The main thing that you want to look for is the smooth outside of the wood, right? So like that radiata pine is different than the old school plywood that we're all familiar with. It has a smooth outer surface like that, that you can see there. The same with the cross supports and the lip that I bought. So here you can see them all sort of standing up. I'm going to be quiet so that you can hear what I'm saying here.
Poplar, 3/4 by 2.5. Pine.
I'm basically trying to give you a good idea of exactly what I bought here. But again, the specifics of what I bought don't matter too much. Okay. The main thing is base the sizing of everything off your tent. Now here you can see my buddy
drilling out holes for the screws to go in. He has a handy little tool that allows it to sit flush. As you can see here, it puts a little groove above it for the screw head to sit down in, which is nice. Made my Herculining a little bit easier. Now here you can see we mounted the inner lip to the top of the plywood, and then the outer lip actually adheres to the outside of the box.
All right, guys, so just to show you some of the progress so far, building the base with a little, about a half inch lip on it. I'm gonna put links down below in the description to the different sizes of wood that we got to kind of explain it. But here's the thing is I'm probably not gonna go super in depth or in detail as far as how I built it because it's really simple, right? Like basically we're gonna build a very similar box on the top that's gonna fit down around this lip. This will be the front of the box here. And then back here is where the back will be. So we'll just have a flat, you know, there won't be a lip on the very back of it because that's where the hinge is gonna mount to attach the top box to the bottom box. But basically all that it's gonna be is just this big long box that is the size of the tent. And then I'm actually gonna mount the snaps. So if you've seen the previous videos, I'm gonna use like boat snaps to attach the tent to the box. I'm actually gonna mount those to the outside of the box just so that all the condensation can run out. And so that if it rains or anything like that, that it is all going outside of the box and it's not gonna flood. And then my plan as far as like UV and water protection is I'm gonna Herculine the whole thing. So I'll put a link down below to the Herculiner kit that I bought. From what I've heard, folks that have done similar sized boxes used about a gallon. And so the kit that I got is a gallon and that allowed them to do two coats to the box. So I haven't done that yet, obviously. So once I do it, then I will, I'll post up an update just to tell you guys that whether that worked or not, or if you need more. On the inside of the box, I am gonna spar urethane it just to give it an extra layer of protection. I'm probably gonna buy spray cans of that just to make it as easy as possible. So I'll put links to that down below as well. But yeah, overall, it's a pretty simple process. So we're obviously wood gluing all this stuff. I am gonna caulk it just to fill any of the seams to try and prevent any water from getting down in it. And then once that's done, like I said, I'm just gonna Herculine the whole outside of the box to waterproof it and UV protect it. So yeah, more updates to come. While I'm here, I also just wanted to show you another project that my buddy is working on. Look at this table. So he had to fill all this with epoxy, basically. But this is gonna be like a coffee table that he's making that looks pretty cool. All right, guys, so I just wanted to take a quick update video to probably add to one long video of kind of the process of building this thing. And granted, it's not gonna be the prettiest thing ever. I'm not a professional caulker or anything, but just trying to caulk up all the seams on the inside to make sure this thing's truly waterproof. So working through that right now. But so that's kind of what it looks like. So this is the top here, and we put a spline across and kind of boxed the inside just for some extra strength because the top is made out of a half inch piece of plywood. So again, I'm just gonna caulk all the joints and seams everywhere. And then that over there is the bottom, which is obviously the big flat part. I'm gonna caulk that, and I'm also gonna caulk in between the inner lip and the outer lip. So again, just to be super safe and make sure no water gets down in there and gets into the box, I'm gonna caulk the whole outside lip too. But so then once caulk is done, then I've got a bunch of spar urethane coming. I've already put a light coat down on that one so you can kind of see the difference here. That one's been sprayed with some spray spar urethane just to kind of get it a little bit protected. But then I've got a whole pint of it coming and I'm just gonna sort of lather that on the inside because I am worried about condensation inside of it and I don't wanna ruin the wood. So I'm gonna spar urethane the interior really, really well. And so that's next step. And then once the inside is all done and caulked up and spar urethane, then I'm gonna flip it over and I'm gonna use Herculiner on the outside of it. And then hopefully that will, you know, fully seal it. So this caulk I'm hoping will kind of be redundant and shouldn't be necessary because the Herculiner is hopefully gonna just essentially turn the outside into one solid piece of rubber. But just to be safe, I'd rather do it the right way the first time than have to redo it over and over and over again. So the toilet paper there is not there for any weird reason. It's to use to wipe up the excess caulk. So anyways, just wanted to give you a quick update. That's where I'm at right now. And there you go. Alexa, stop.
Alexa, stop. And there you go. It's all caulked up. It's not the prettiest thing ever, but every seam is sealed. Hopefully waterproofed. Including the outer to inner lip, which I had to wipe pretty thin because I just don't want it to interfere with the closing of the lid. That's kind of what it looks like. All right, guys, so next step down. So I caulked the inside of this the other day and put a little bit of a layer of spar urethane on it. And now I have done the exterior of it in Herculiner. I bought the 1 gallon kit, so it's just literally a gallon of it. Comes with, try not to rub up against this stuff, comes with two of these blue rollers here. So you get two of those, which is kind of nice. Because my plan is to do 2 coats. So you also get a brush with it, and you get this little green pad so you can kind of use it to like scuff up stuff to make sure that you've got a good rough surface for it to adhere to. Since I'm using wood, I didn't really do a whole lot to it, to be honest. I just kind of, what I've heard and read online is that it just kind of absorbs in to the wood, and you can kind of see it doing that there. So what it says is that the first coat that you do is kind of almost like a primer. So I did lay it on pretty thick. You're supposed to use the brush and go around and like fill any like visible gaps, which really the box itself was built pretty tight with very few gaps, so I didn't have to worry about that too much. There's a little bit of a gap here at the back, which I filled in with stuff. But again, I used about a half of that gallon, so my box is probably about 3-ish inches tall on both sides. Maybe 1's 4 and 1's 3, so a total of about 6 or 7 inches tall. It's 7.5 feet long. And it's about 36 inches wide. So if that gives you some sort of a reference point about the size of this, it's actually a fairly large box. Honestly, I would probably recommend, so I based the dimensions on the tent that I bought, which is 7.5 feet long by 36 inches across. What I would say is get a shorter tent because that's absolutely huge. I mean, I'm 6'2", so I'm gonna have over a foot of extra space above my head. And the box is just ginormous. It's gonna be hanging off my roof probably about a foot in the front, because the exterior hatch opens in the rear, so I don't want to get in the way of that. So just FYI, if you made a shorter box, it would take less, but I used just about a half of that gallon of that stuff to put one pretty good, pretty thick coat on this thing, just to get started. So this actually right here is the bottom part of the box. I've got it up on the lift there, and then I put this on the floor just so I could get all the way around it. But you can still see that there's some wood exposed in there, which is what I'm hoping that the second coat kind of takes care of. The stuff is really viscous, so like it's pretty thick. So I'm really not worried about it once I put a second coat on it. But even with just using about half of it, and they do say that once you do the first coat, it acts as sort of a primer, so the second coat should cover a lot better. I'm pretty sure that when I do the second coat, it's gonna cover this really well and really just sort of like bulk it up. It is really interesting. You have to keep mixing the stuff. So they recommend that you continuously mix it. And if you can, use like a drill powered auger to like keep mixing it as you go to mix up the rubber stuff. So if you're not careful, you can get just like black sort of polyethylene paint and with no rubber in it. So you'll see like some of the spots here on the side where I got a little thin, like right there, I maybe should have mixed it a little bit better, but again, I'm figuring with my second coat that should cover better. This is just the first. So again though, pretty impressed with it for a first coat at how well it covered everything, and really feeling good about how waterproof this thing is gonna be when I put the second coat on. So it should essentially be like a rubber box on the outside. And then on the inside, I am gonna spar urethane literally everything that doesn't have the Herculiner on it. I'm just gonna, to be super safe, for condensation, for if water happened to get in the tent. I just really don't want the box to ever rot. I would also recommend, I've seen a lot of people recently posting on like do-it-yourself rooftop tent forums and stuff, and the Facebook group, about using like plywood and stuff like that. But that stuff just absorbs water, and it's also really hard to waterproof. The wood that I use is actually like a premium, quote unquote, pine. So it's like more of like a higher level premium wood, but still, honestly, I only spent on the lumber about $150 for 2 of these big 8-foot sheets. The bottom is made of 3/4 and the top is made of 1/2 inch.
And then, as you've seen earlier in the video, we just put a spline down the middle of it and boxed the sides a little bit to make it stronger. But I mean, this thing is pretty stout, and I think that the rubber is only going to make it better. Like, it's just going to tie everything together and hopefully just waterproof everything. So again, time will tell, but pretty excited about it so far, and can't wait to show you guys the finished product. So thanks for watching.
All right, guys. So as you saw, we've walked through everything that I've done so far to date. I'm getting pretty close. I have a trip, I think, coming up at the end of this month is the plan. So my goal is really to get it done by the last weekend in March. So there will be another video coming probably in a couple of weeks with just sort of the finished product to show you guys how it came out. So I'm super excited to see that. I'm super excited to test it out. I may even have on that video, if I'm lucky, although it may be the weekend that video will come out, just kind of telling you the updates on it, some like usage footage, right? Like showing you what it's like inside, showing you how condensation goes overnight, that sort of stuff. Again, I want to wrap up this video just by saying thanks for stopping by. That shows you where we're at for now. Again, in a couple weeks, there will be another video showing you kind of the finished product. And then after that, if I can't get it into that video, then I'll do another video down the road to show you sort of a usage test and show you what it looks like opened up and show you how it traveled down the highway and kind of give you updates on wind noise and condensation and how it sleeps and all that good stuff. So thanks again for stopping by. I hope that was entertaining for you guys. I hope it was educational. Again, I'm no expert. I'm just a regular guy, right? And I'm very budget-minded. I like to kind of keep costs down and figure out ways to do things for less money so that I've got more money to spend on other gear. So again, if that's helpful for you guys, I hope it is. Please consider clicking the like button below. Leave a comment. Let me know what you guys are using. Let me know if you're using a pre-existing, pre-made rooftop tent, if you have ideas for doing your own DIY rooftop tent, if you just prefer to use a hammock and a tarp, or if you like to use a ground tent and why, post up down in the comments. And as always, you know, definitely subscribe to the channel. I'm looking for conversations with you guys, right? Like, I learn as much from you guys as you might learn from me. So I would love it if more and more of you could subscribe to the channel, just because then that gives me more people to talk to, right? And we can all learn from each other. So again, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for watching the video. I appreciate it. And we'll be back soon with another video/podcast. So take care. Get out there, live, learn, discover, and we'll talk soon.